Frederick Spencer Gore by Wyndham Lewis. Born in 1879, Gore died on March 27, 1914, of pneumonia after an illness of 3 days. Had he lived, his dogged, almost romantic industry, his passion for the delicate objects set in the London atmosphere around him, his grey conception of the artist's life, his gentleness and fineness would have matured into an abundant personal art, something like Corot and Gessing. His habit of telling you of things he had his eye on and intended painting 3 years hence, and all his system of work was with reference to minute and persistent labour, implying a good spell of life which almost retarded accomplishment. He projected himself into the years of work before him and organised queerly what was to be done. He possessed, physically, a busy time 3 years away, as much as today. A boastfully confident attitude to time's expanse and absence of recognition of the common need to hurry characterised him. Death cut all this short, to the dismay of those who had known him from the start and regarded, confidently like him, this great artist and dear friend as a permanent thing in their lives, and his work as in safe hands and sure of due fulfilment. His leisureliness and confidence were infectious. His painting as it is, although incomplete, is full of illustrations of a maturer future. His latest work, with an accentuation of structural qualities, a new and suave simplicity, might, in the case of several examples I know, be placed beside that of any of the definitely gracious artists in Europe. The welter of pale and rather sombre colour filling London backyards, the rather distant, still and sultry well-being of a Camden Town summer, in trivial crescents with tall trees and toy trains, was one of his favourite themes. He was a painter of the London summer, of heavy, dull sunlight, of exquisite, respectable and stodgy houses, more than anybody else. The years he spent working on scenes from the London music halls brought to light a new world of witty illusion. I much prefer Gore's paintings of the theatre to Degas. Gore gets everything that Degas, with his hard and rather paltry science, apparently did not see. He had an admirable master for his drawing in Mr. Walter Sickert, to whose advice and friendship he no doubt owed more than to anybody else's. But he was quite independent of Mr. Sickert, or of any group of artists, and even diametrically opposed to many of his friends in his feeling towards the latest movement in painting, which from the first he gave his word for. Some of his work towards the end belonged rather to this present movement than to any other. The memorial exhibition of his work, shortly to be held, should, if possible, since the Cabaret Club has closed, contain the large paintings he did for that place. To suffragettes. A word of advice. In destruction, as in other things, stick to what you understand. We make you a present of our votes. Only leave works of art alone. You might someday destroy a good picture by accident. Then, mais soyez bonne fille, nous vous aimons. We admire your energy. You and artists are the only things, you don't mind being called things, left in England with a little life in them. If you destroy a great work of art, you are destroying a greater soul than if you annihilated a whole district of London. Leave art alone, brave comrades. Thank you. The vortex is the point of maximum energy. It represents in mechanics the greatest efficiency. We use the words greatest efficiency in the precise sense as they would be used in a textbook of mechanics. You may think of a man as that towards which perception moves. You may think of him as the toy of circumstance, as the plastic substance receiving impressions. Or you may think of him as directing a certain fluid force against circumstance, as conceiving instead of merely observing and reflecting. The primary pigment. The vorticist relies on this alone, on the primary pigment of his art, nothing else. Every conception, every emotion presents itself to the vivid consciousness in some primary form. It is the picture that means 100 poems, the music that means 100 pictures, the most highly energized statement, the statement that has not yet spent itself in expression, but which is the most capable of expressing. The turbine. All experience rushes into this vortex. All the energized past, all the past that is living and worthy to live, all momentum which is the past bearing upon us, race memory, instinct charging the placid, non-energized future. The design of the future in the grip of the human vortex. All the past that is vital, all the past that is capable of living into the future, is pregnant in the vortex, now. Hedonism is the vacant place of a vortex. Without force, deprived of past and of future, the vortex of a still spool or cone. Futurism is the disgorging spray of a vortex, with no drive behind it, dispersal. Every concept, every emotion, presents itself to the vivid consciousness in some primary form. It belongs to the art of this form, if sound, to music, if formed words, to literature, the image, to poetry, form, to design, colour, imposition, to painting, form or design in three planes, to sculpture, movement, to the dance or to the rhythm of music or of verses. Elaboration, expression of second intensities, of dispersedness belong to the secondary sort of artist. Dispersed arts had a vortex. Impressionism, futurism, which is only an accelerated sort of impressionism, deny the vortex. They are the corpses of vortices. Popular beliefs, movements, etc. are the corpses of vortices. Marinetti is a corpse. The man. The vorticist relies not upon similarity or analogy, not upon likeness or mimicry. In painting, he does not rely upon the likeness to a beloved grandmother or to a caressable mistress. Vorticism is art before it has spread itself into a state of flaccidity, of elaboration, of secondary applications. Ancestry. All arts approach the conditions of music. Pater. An image is that which presents an intellectual and emotional complex in an instant of time. Pound. You are interested in a certain painting because it is an arrangement of lines and colours. Whistler. Picasso, Kandinsky, father and mother, classicism and romanticism of the movement. Poetry. The vorticist will use only the primary media of his art. Primary pigment of poetry is the image. The vorticist will not allow the primary expression of any concept or emotion to drag itself out into mimicry. In painting, Kandinsky, Picasso. In poetry, this by H.D. Whirl up sea, whirl your pointed pines, splash your great pines on our rocks. Hurl your green over us, cover us with your pools of fur. Thank you. Sculptural energy is the mountain. Sculptural feeling is the appreciation of masses in relation. Sculptural ability is the defining of these masses by planes. The Paleolithic vortex resulted in the decoration of the Dordogne caverns. Early Stone Age man disputed the earth with animals. His livelihood depended on the hazards of the hunt. His greatest victory, the domestication of a few species. Out of the minds primordially preoccupied with animals, Fond de Gaume gained its procession of horses carved in the rock. The driving power was life in the absolute, the plastic expression the fruitful sphere. The sphere is thrown through space, it is the soul and object of the vortex. The intensity of existence had revealed to man a truth of form. His manhood was strained to the highest potential, his energy brutal, his opulent maturity was convex. The acute fight subsided at the birth of the three primary civilizations. It always retained more intensity east. The Hamite vortex of Egypt, the land of plenty. Man succeeded in his far-reaching speculations. Honor to the divinity. Religion pushed him to the use of the vertical, which inspires awe. His gods were self-made. He built them in his image and retained as much of the sphere as could round the sharpness of the parallelogram. He preferred the pyramid to the mastaba. The fair Greek felt this influence across the Middle Sea. The fair Greek saw himself only. He petrified his own semblance. His sculpture was derivative. His feeling for form secondary. The absence of direct energy lasted for 1,000 years. The Indians felt the Hamitic influence through Greek spectacles, their extreme temperament inclined towards asceticism. Admiration of non-desire as a balance against abuse produced a kind of sculpture without new form perception, and which is the result of the peculiar vortex of blackness and silence. Plastic soul is intensity of life bursting the plain. The German barbarians were verily whirled by the mysterious need of acquiring new arable lands. They moved restlessly, like strong oxen stampeding. The Semitic vortex was the lust of war. The men of Elam, of Assur, of Babel and the Kittah, the men of Armenia and those of Canaan, had to slay each other cruelly for the possession of fertile valleys. Their gods sent them the vertical direction, the earth, the sphere. They elevated the sphere in a splendid squatness and created the horizontal. From Sargon to Amir Nasir Pal, men built man-headed bulls in horizontal flight walk. Men flayed their captives alive and erected howling lions. The elongated horizontal sphere buttressed on four columns, and their kingdoms disappeared. Christ flourished and perished in Judah. Christianity gained Africa, and from the seaports of the Mediterranean it won the Roman Empire. The stampeding Franks came into violent contact with it, as well as with the Greco-Roman tradition. They were swamped by the remote reflections of the two vortices of the West. Gothic sculpture was but a faint echo of the Hamito-Semitic energies through Roman traditions, and it lasted 500 years, and it willfully divagated again into the Greek derivation from the land of Amen-Ra. Vortex of a vortex! Vortex is the point one and indivisible. Vortex is energy, and it gave forth solid excrements in the Quattrocinquecento. Liquid until the 17th century, gases whistle till now. This is the history of form value in the West until the fall of Impressionism. The black-haired men who wandered through the pass of Khotan into the valley of the Yellow River lived peacefully tilling their lands, and they grew prosperous. Their Paleolithic feeling was intensified, as gods they had themselves in the persons of their human ancestors, and of the spirits of the horse and of the land and the grain. The sphere swayed. The vortex was absolute. The Shang and Chao dynasties produced the convex bronze vases. The features of Tao Tie were inscribed inside of the square with the rounded corners. The centuple spherical frog presided over the inverted truncated cone that is the bronze war drum. The vortex was intense maturity. Maturity is fecundity. They grew numerous and it lasted for 6,000 years. The force relapsed and they accumulated wealth, forsook their work, and losing their form understanding through the Han and Tang dynasties, they founded the Ming and found artistic ruin and sterility. The sphere lost significance and they admired themselves. During their great period, offshoots from their race had landed on another continent. After many wanderings, some tribes settled on the highlands of Yucatan and Mexico. When the Ming were losing their conception, these Neo-Mongols had a flourishing state. Through the strain of warfare, they submitted the Chinese sphere to horizontal treatment, much as the Semites had done. Their cruel nature and temperament supplied them with a stimulant, the vortex of destruction. Besides these highly developed peoples, there lived on the world other races, inhabiting Africa and the ocean islands. When we first knew them, they were very near the Paleolithic stage. Though they were not so much dependent upon animals, their expenditure of energy was wide, for they began to till the land and practice crafts rationally, and they fell into a contemplation before their sex, the sight of their great energy, their convex maturity. They pulled the sphere lengthways and made the cylinder. This is the vortex of fecundity, and it has left us the masterpieces that are known as love charms. The soil was hard, material difficult to win from nature, storms frequent, as also fevers and other epidemics. They got frightened. This is the vortex of fear. Its mass is the pointed cone, its masterpieces the fetishes. And we, the moderns, Epstein, Brancusi, Archipenko, Dunikovsky, Modigliani, and myself, through the incessant struggle of the complex city, have likewise to spend much energy. The knowledge of our civilization embraces the world. We have mastered the elements. We have been influenced by what we liked most, each according to his own individuality. We have crystallized the sphere into the cube. We have made a combination of all the possible shaped masses, concentrating them to express our abstract thoughts of conscious superiority. Will and consciousness are our vortex.